Welcome to Town Talk with Ted on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders who impact our community. Now, the recipient of three First Place Virginia Association of Broadcasters Awards and the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're going to talk about art this morning. Local artist Laura Klopp with us on the program. Laura, it's good to have you back this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me back.
I was introduced to you last year, late summer, because you were involved last year, and again, we're involved this year with Via Calori, and I saw you over the weekend, and this seemed like a good chance to talk about art in the area and just getting kids involved in art and art things we can do. So we'll get involved. We'll talk about all of that this morning. First of all, Via Calori, have you recovered yet?
Yes, actually I did. I made my days shorter this weekend than usual. Previous years when I've done it, I've done the full like 8-9 hour days, Saturday and Sunday. But with the heat, that was, at least for me, not possible this time. So I was done by about 2 or 3 each day, which gave me a chance to relax and recline and take a hot shower.
It was really hot. Did the pavement ever get too hot for you?
Actually, yeah. I mean, everything that was in the sun got hot. The asphalt gets really hot. The chalks get hot. Anything sitting out in the sun. I did have an awning that we brought, one of those big 10-foot awnings, but I have a student who's very fair like I am, who was working on a 10-by-10 square across from me, so most of the time I gave him my awning because I felt really bad for him. But my husband does hold an umbrella over me, so that helps.
I remember that he did that last year, and I saw him there doing that this year.
Yeah, he's very sweet like that.
You told me an interesting thing on Saturday when I talked to you about the chalk getting hot that I never even thought about that.
Yeah, I mean, especially, of course, the darker colors. Anything that absorbs the heat, just like the inside of a car or anything else. And, I mean, you pick it up, and it's been sitting there in the sun, and it's actually hard to hold. Like, I would blow on it or wave it around until it would get usable. And then the pavement was so hot that it actually, the chalk behaved a little different when you would, it was almost a little melty. It was strange. It instead of being completely powdery like usual.
For people that missed it, Via Calori was this past weekend. And so you've missed it for another year. But for those who've never gone downtown to see it, it really is something.
Yeah. You get 100, 150 artists, all concentrated where Charlotte and Sophia Street come together by the parking garage, and they block off the street so no cars can drive there. And they draw squares of 3 different sizes, 4 by 4 feet, which sounds pretty big, but that's the smallest, 6 by 6, and then 10 by 10. And artists who sign up, it's free for the artists, and they're given their chalk and a few other supplies. They're given water. They were very nice handing out water this time. I didn't want casualties on their hands. And then the artists come and they draw some sort of design or picture or image in their square. And it takes place over the course of 2 days, so the public can come and walk around, and they can come and watch everybody starting and see how the drawings, you know, get going, and then they can come throughout the process and at the end and see how things look. Because a lot of times in the beginning, you almost want to explain to people, oh, wait, no, it's not going to look like this. Trust me, it's going to get better. There's going to be layers of color. So it really is showing the process.
And that's what's interesting. It's such a difference going and seeing what's being done from Saturday to Sunday. You almost should go both days.
Oh, absolutely. If you're able to, I mean, if it's not a long drive or something, if you can come both days, even for a short period of time, it's really wonderful. It's actually, I would even add to that, come after they rinse or after rain or after anything rinses away the chalk, because it's got a separate kind of beauty once everything's almost gone and it's just these faded memories on the pavement. So you go from like the whole life cycle of a work of art from inception to creation to destruction.
I had not done that before until yesterday. And yesterday I went back and saw the street, and I was surprised even yesterday before last night's rain that how faded it was, but it still was nice to kind of see everything there, even with the street back open and cars going over, but just to kind of remember what it was like.
The first year that they had it, everyone came on Saturday. It was very busy, and it rained Saturday night. And even though it wasn't raining Sunday, they canceled it Sunday, which they don't do anymore. Now, if it's not raining anymore, you come back. But at that time, they canceled it. But I just went back Sunday just to walk around, and the streets were still blocked off because they'd canceled it, but they hadn't opened up the streets yet. So it was like this ghost town because there was nobody there, and there were all these like beautifully gently faded, because it had been a rain, but not a torrential rain. Yeah. So everything was just really sort of delicate and just like it had faded through the years. It was really beautiful.
You were telling me that this year you had a brownie troop.
I did.
Next to you.
Yeah, I did actually two. One was because the Grace Otten Cancer Foundation, which sponsors this, they obviously are doing it as a fundraiser. So they want the artists to find their own sponsors. So I asked the company I work with, PlantsMap, I was like, do you want me to sponsor? You want to sponsor me and I'll do a square in your honor? And they said yes. Well, then the Grace Otten Cancer Foundation, who I worked with last year because I was the featured artist, came to me and said, would you work with this brownie troupe who wants to do a square in memory, or in honor of, not memory, she's still alive, in honor of their friend Elise, who has cancer? And I said, well, yeah, but I'm also working with my company and doing their square. So they put the two squares next to each other. And I got a bunch of my old high school students from when I taught high school art, and they were so sweet. And they came and they helped the kids and they worked with the kids. And honestly, it was better than me working with the kids because, you know, what do kids like better than working with nice high school students?
Exactly.
So it works. So it turned out just beautifully. And their square was colorful and wonderful and awesome.
That's what's unique about this kind of thing. You can you can do things like that in honor or memory of someone.
You know, I think they've done that more since the Grace Otten Cancer Foundation started sponsoring it, which was only for the first time last September. Before that, I believe it had been the museum. And I think that's one of the larger sponsor areas now. And of course, we have we have B101.5, we have Capitol Ale House, we have a lot of local businesses show their support, which is wonderful.
It was interesting. A group in Stafford had it was mainly kids, and they had drawn monsters. And you could write if you wrote and it was all for the Grace Otten Cancer Foundation, and about how it started out with the monsters being cancer is scary, but then on these strips of paper, if you wrote some encouragement, then they colored in these colored dots, and it ended up filling up through the weekend.
I did not. See, that's what happens when you get so focused on your own square and you don't have the time to really like walk around and talk to people. I didn't see that. That was really wonderful.
Oh, it was just those kind of things. And I guess also to see the people, the established artists who were doing that. You've got all kinds of levels there, and other people who just wanted to give it a try and came out with their kids and did it and had a great time.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is it's always a mix. You have everything from very, very skilled professional artists who do a square either to promote themselves or just because it's different and fun and they get to be out there interacting with the public. And then you go all the way down to the families. You have the amateurs who are wonderful artists, but who, you know, only do it on the weekends, like Sunday painters, and they come out and for them it's just a fun event. You have families working together. You have school groups working together. So, I mean, it's a range, and that's almost one of my favorite things about it, is you walk and you might see Calvin and Hobbes right next to a recreation of, you know, a Michelangelo, and you just never know what you're going to see.
I ran into several people that I knew that had never come downtown. This was the sixth year, and this was the first time they'd happened to be downtown and walk through it, and were just amazed, And that's what I told people after last year. It's something, even if you don't think you're interested in art, it's just so colorful, and it's a happening.
Right. I mean, I think it's the event itself in addition to the art. I mean, and even if you're not an art person, even if you might be bored, say, looking at sculpture at a gallery, which I can't imagine, but I suppose someone out there is. But this is different because it's sidewalk chalk. Everybody's done sidewalk chalk. It's darker and it's more colorful. But in essence, it's something that we all have memories of from our youth or from doing with our kids. And then it takes it to another level, and there's so many people, and there's food, and there's music. And it's so much more than just the art. And then the art itself is something completely unexpected. It's not what you've seen before.
Well, it was great to see your site with that you did for Plants Map, because your art always includes a flower, and you had a flower there.
I did. I ended up doing two flowers, and then I did, because I mean, the whole event, it's about the artists. You can't have the event without the artists, of course, but it's also about the sponsors, because without the sponsors stepping in to make it a profitable event for the Grace Otten Cancer Foundation, they do it as a fundraiser, and to pay for the supplies, because the artists don't pay for their own supplies, the sponsors do. So I think it's very important to give a nod to your sponsor, because they're who helps make the event possible. So I incorporated the Plants Map logo and their name with the flowers that I typically do. And it was nice that they kind of melded together like that, since I do the flowers, and since it's a company that's about plants and flowers, and it all worked together nicely. So I liked it.
Local artist Laura Klopp here. When we come back, we're going to talk about getting your kids involved in art and things that you can get them involved with this summer, as we continue along in Town Talk this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk with Ted on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook. Just search News Talk 1230 WFVA. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Local artist Laura Klopp here this morning with us. We are talking about just art and getting involved in things. I can't remember. I guess I probably talked to you about this last year, and I don't remember, Laura, about when you got involved in art and how you got involved.
Well, actually, it was kind of funny. Initially, I always drew. I was one of those kids that always doodled and sketched in my sketchbooks, but I never had time for art in high school because I was very college oriented. And then actually in college, one of the requirements was that you take a couple of classes in what at William & Mary was called Area 1, which is arts. And so I signed up for a sculpture class just to take it. And my sculpture professor said, oh, you should major in art. And I was like, huh, yeah, all right, whatever. And then I signed up for a drawing class. And my drawing professor said, you should major in art. And I was like, okay. But it was such a scary transition from, I mean, I wanted to be pre-law. So going
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was a government major. So I kept my government major and I added an art major. But then art just was what I loved. And it's what I ended up, you know, pursuing.
Now, have you always, what kind of art do you do?
Well, primarily painting. I'm mostly a painter. Oil painting and acrylic painting are my primary media. I do watercolor painting to some extent. It's sort of a refreshing, light, immediate change from the others. If I could only pick one to do forever, I'd pick oil painting. And I draw. I do charcoal. I do pastels on paper, not usually on the street. And I don't really do much in the way of sculpture or 3D art. I have a great admiration for it, but it's not my love.
Do you like doing the art? Do you like teaching it? Is there any, or do you do like a combination of both?
Well, actually, it's funny because I was a high school art teacher for 7 years, and I think I did more and better art while I was teaching. There's something about explaining and going back to the basics, and because when you're teaching art to high school students, you're demonstrating a lot. You know, they're trying to get fur. They're trying to get the shading in an eyeball right so it has that reflection. They're trying to get these textures and these values, and you don't want to do it on their art because then they get offended because it's theirs. So you're constantly doing all these little drawings and all these little paintings where you're demonstrating what they need to do and showing them, but then they can go and do it themselves. And it's hard to do that and not get home and be really excited about creating your own work. It's actually funny. I left teaching 2 years ago to pursue my degree in web design and programming, which I just finished. And that slowed me down a lot on the art front because it's a different way of thinking and I do miss that. I think working with kids and working with other people to help them with their art was a huge factor in helping me with mine.
Has technology changed art?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, art has always been something accessible to anyone who wanted it. I mean, anyone can sit down with, you know, paper and a Sharpie or a pen or even a Bic ballpoint and create something wonderful. So you don't need a lot of supplies. You don't need a lot of expensive things to create. You just need the willingness and the time. But then technology has put into everybody's hands the means to do so much more. I mean, most people have a smartphone, which has a camera, mm-hmm. which, and most people have the ability to, at least to some extent, edit their photographs and alter them and change them. Then if you add a little bit of money to the equation, and this would be somewhat expensive, you get like Photoshop Elements, and then suddenly this photo that you took has a billion possibilities of what it can become. And then there's the fact that technology allows us to see other people's art. It allows us to learn how to do new things. My daughter loves making jewelry. She's 15, and she loves to just make little, she makes chain mail, she makes jewelry designs. She goes online, and she says, oh, how do I make this kind of chain mail? And she finds an instructional tutorial. She goes to YouTube, and she watches how someone does it. Nowadays, we can learn. So when I was a kid, you had to call the local reference librarian.
Yes.
And be like, hi, I'm interested in this piece of information. And they'd call you back in like 3 days. Now, everything's at our fingertips. We can learn to do anything we have the patience to learn to do.
Yeah, no, that I was just going to say that, that's how you used to have to do things. And a lot of times, I lived in a rural area, and so they would say, we'll go, we can get that from another library, but it'll be, you know, we'll get it, you know, back in a week.
Exactly. And supplies are the same thing. Nowadays, you can go online. You can go to Amazon or eBay, and if you don't have access, when I started as an art student, I would have to drive up to Washington, D.C. to go to Utrecht to buy the art supplies I needed. Now you can go online, click, click, click. You pick what you want. They ship it to your door like 2 days later. It's amazing.
Yeah. And you say that. I do remember when my kids had been involved and needed certain things, we would have to go up to Northern Virginia or D.C. to certain stores.
Right. And so, I mean, our modern world makes it easy to tune things out if you want, but it also, in a way, makes it easy to connect more if you use it that way. And I mean, I think technology has been a tremendous bonus, and I'm actually, like, so thankful for the opportunities that it gives to me.
Do you run into, when you talked about when you went to William & Mary being a, looking at pre-law, and then does the whole idea of if you become an art major, how are you going to make money kind of factor in? Or I'm sure some how did your parents react?
Well, my parents were not that involved in my schooling, so that wasn't really an issue.
Okay.
I actually got married in college my first time. I got married, actually graduated in 3 years because I got married 2 years in. So I rushed, finished up my degree, and graduated. But honestly, my thought had never been to make money with art. It was interesting. I kept my government degree. So I kept my government major. Mm-hmm. And my thought had always been that I would get employment somehow associated with that degree and that the art would be on the side.
Yeah,
I've never been interested in making money with art. To me, somehow it changes. I'm way too much interested in the opinions of other people at times. It's like a very strong weakness of mine. And if I was trying to sell art, then instead of having the freedom to create what I wanted to create, I would start creating what I would think people would want to buy and where I felt like I was getting validation.
Okay.
And I think that, at least for me, would really stop the creative process. And it, to me, it was just about loving to do it.
So I guess, do you look back at art that you did in college or even a few years ago and see a lot of changes?
I do. I mean, I see some consistencies through the years, which is interesting. And I also see things that have improved. I see some things that, actually, one of my favorite, when I was getting my MFA in painting at Wichita State University, I did a lot of gesture drawing classes, which is a very quick, immediate, it's a kind of drawing I love, but it never gets a lot of attention because it's not polished, it's not finished, it's 5 minute, 10 minute drawings mm-hmm. that just capture a moment. And I actually just, I've fallen in love with Amazon's ability to create and publish your own ebook. So I took a bunch of my favorite gesture drawings of different time lengths, 5 minute, 10 minute, 20 minute, and I just published a short book on different kinds of drawing, but mostly focusing on gesture drawing and sharing what the results can be like so that people can say, okay, this is, you know, kind of how I can get into this. I feel like it's more an instructional, helping people understand that drawing doesn't have to be a polished, finished 8-hour work of art, and that sometimes the most beautiful and freshest drawings are the ones that are immediate. So I look back at drawings like that and then what I'm doing now, and to some extent, I think it helps me loosen up a little bit. It helps me say, hey, I don't have to always strive for more polished. I can go back to a little freer, and that's okay.
So you got a book on Amazon.
I do. I actually have two. I also have one of limericks, but don't let your kids read it.
So I guess one of the things that's most interesting about art is you can pick it up at any time. That a lot of times it's not unusual now to hear all kinds of people talk about people that are near retirement or retirement saying, I'm going to take up, you know, some aspect of art.
Absolutely. And I mean, honestly, one of the amazing and wonderful things about artists who start later in life is they have their own experiences that they bring to the table, and they don't necessarily have the training that leads to a certain look. And in a way, I mean, Grandma Moses, she was like 80 or something. Like, she was old, maybe in her 60s.
Yeah.
She'd finished her farm life, you know, and she started painting. And her works are very uniquely her. They have a folk Americana look to them. But they are her signature style because she just took it up and did it. And she wasn't afraid and she wasn't trying to impress anyone. She just loved doing it. I think anyone who has that drive, get yourself, go to Walmart, pay $10 for, you know, a little starter set of acrylics or oils or watercolors or whatever appeals to you and just do something. And if you don't like it, that's okay. Do something else. It doesn't matter if it's not, you know, a masterpiece the first or the 10th or the 100th time you do it. As long as you're sitting there loving what you're doing, that's what's important.
If someone wants to get in touch with you, what's the best way to get in touch with you if they want to talk to you more about this?
Okay. Actually, my email's really straightforward. It's just my name, LaraKlopp at AOL.com. I'm happy if anyone has any questions or wants to ask me anything about how to get started. I'd love to make suggestions and find out where you're. And that's the thing. Always go with your own interests. You're going to love anything more. If you've always loved things that are knit or yarn work, go with something that involves knitting. Learn to do that. If you've always loved looking at watercolor paintings, try to create watercolor paintings. You know, don't fight your own nature, because art is so personal that there's something for everyone to find and love in it.
Laura Klopp with us. She is a local artist. When we come back, we will talk about getting kids involved in art and things that maybe she suggests that they can get involved with this summer. Laura Klopp with us. More in Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:31.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk with Ted on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Voice it now on Facebook. Search News Talk 1230 WFVA and place your comments now. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Local artist Laura Klopp with us this morning. We were talking art, of all things. One of the reasons I really wanted to have you come in, and I thought the timing was good with summer here and talking about getting kids involved in art, and in it seems like the summer would be a good time to, if they're thinking about doing things, and they'd have a little bit more time. How do we start off, first of all, Laura? How do parents get kids interested in art?
Oh, I think the trick would be to get a kid not to be interested in art. I mean, I think all little kids, if we're talking small children, young children, they have art in their blood. They love to create. They love using their imagination. To them, the entire world is a playground, and that's what art is for. So honestly, I think with little kids, the trick is just encouraging them. I mean, my favorite forms of art for kids are ones that isn't just, let's sit down at the table with pens and watercolors, because to them, that doesn't have a lot of purpose. Kids love using their imagination, so make sock puppets, and then they can do plays with the sock puppets. Or kids love to act out, and they like to create their own plays where they're the actors. So help them and go to Goodwill and buy a bunch of old clothes or from a yard sale. Make them costumes. All it takes is scissors and a hot glue gun. They don't have to be sewn. You can assemble a lot of things with scissors and a hot glue gun. Make them costumes, you know, let the couch become a boat, let the carpet become water that they can't get on, give them a bottle and paper and make them write notes and throw them into the water. I mean, let the kids and their interests and their love and their own natural play in theater dictate what kind of art you do, because trust me, they'll have, oh, I want to do a play, or I have a friend, Nick, who used to be a kindergarten teacher, and he was telling me about how with art with the kindergartners, because everybody loves to tell their own stories, but kindergartners can't write full sentences yet. So he would have them tell him a story, and every sentence of their story he would write on a separate page of a notebook or a small book, and then they would illustrate. So they had their own illustrated story that was written out. They illustrated it. It told exactly what was in their head, but he wrote it for them, just one sentence per page, and then they figured out what to put with it. I mean, let the kids be the masters of their own. They'll come up with letters to grandparents. Instead of sitting and doing the, I'm going to write the obligatory, dear grandma, how are you? I'm fine. Have them draw pictures and illustrate and color them, and then have them write, you know, their letters along the lines of the illustration. Make them fun. Make them creative. I trust, grandparents, trust me, will love, love, love getting those. You know, so incorporate the kids' own love of their world. With older kids, it becomes a little different. I mean, like my daughter, like I said, she likes making jewelry. Older kids like creating things, I think, that they've seen. So knitting and crocheting, jewelry making, poster making. And if you can afford it, even computer graphics, because there's the more facility you have with computers in any format, the more you'll have to offer when you do end up getting a job. And the ability to use Photoshop, even for mild tweaking, is very highly regarded at a lot of places. Mm-hmm. So if you get them Photoshop Elements, which is a lot cheaper than regular Photoshop and has most of the same capabilities, at least as far as kids would need, they can learn by playing. And that's the best way to learn, because it's not a force, someone's grading me and I have to do this. It's, ooh, look what I can do. This is really cool. When I used to have my high school students use Photoshop for various projects, I would just let them spend 2 days doing whatever they wanted with it, just to figure out what could be done. They loved it. I think those were the most excited, focused days. They had so much fun with that. So obviously you tailor the art to the kids and to their particular interests and to their ages.
Yeah, I know with my kids, all they needed was a box. And then when you talk about just getting clothes, we called it the dress up box. And they did that through high school, because they would make movies and things like that and wear this stuff even into high school.
See, that is awesome. We had a costume box, same thing. We had, you know, there was this horrible, all totally covered in sequins tunic that we found somewhere, and it became my son's chainmail. I mean, it you find things and they just become, and it would become a fancy dress-up dress for my daughter. And the same piece of clothing becomes a thousand things. The kids love them. And I think it's awesome that your kids did it through high school. I think it's never to, and with YouTube, they can make videos and put them on YouTube. There's no limit to how a little bit of technology, which you can do mostly with your phones nowadays, can, I mean, obviously you can get more expensive equipment, but you don't have to. And how exciting is that to create even a short 1 or 2 minute movie and put it online so your friends can see it? I just think some kids don't want anything to do with computers. So let them sit and draw and get them some nice paper and brushes and watercolor, and let them sit outside and paint or do portraits. I mean, there are going to be kids who are interested in traditional art, certainly, and I would always encourage that. The outlay of expenses, I would say, you know, there is an immediate outlay, but it's not as expensive as people think. All I would say is make sure if you're doing watercolor, get good paper. You can get cheap watercolors, but get good paper. That's my number one piece of advice.
Well, and I guess, Laura, the thing here is with any of this, whether you're doing just the art or even the visual, whatever, it helps with creativity.
Right. I mean, the more you learn to see the more you look at a piece of clothing and see it as a thousand different costume pieces, the more you look at, I'm actually doing a model of a house right now for a friend whose house is about to have their 200th anniversary party. So they're like, could you do a model of the house to go on the cake? I'm like, okay. And so I'm making this model of this house and I'm looking all around to be like, okay, what can I use for, you know, a little fence, or what can I use to make a hose? And you start, yeah, I'm making a pretty detailed little house. I hope they're not listening to this because it's going to be a surprise. But it's like you start seeing the world in so many different ways when you start looking at the possibilities beyond the most immediate, obvious use of each item. I think that's the best thing art can do for you, which is open up the world to all the little intricacies and possibilities of everything you encounter.
And I think one of the things, because I think of the ideas that you've just given this morning, which are all just great ideas, and think of my kids doing many of what you just talked about, between them and their friends, it gives them something to do. They're out in the backyard playing, you know, in make-believe, or as they get older, they're out doing movies. And then in the last few years, my son, the last couple of years, invested money and got a GoPro. And he and his friends as juniors and seniors in high school have had a great time going on these bike trips with the GoPro or this or that. They're just a lot of things, and like you say, that's a little bit more expensive, and there are some expensive outlays with some of this stuff, but again, it's all creative.
It is, and I mean, I think the thing to remember always is you can do it on a budget of almost nothing, mm-hmm. or you can do it with a huge amount of money. I'm pretty frugal, so I've never been a huge spender of money on things to help with, other than the fact that, you know, I think having a laptop is important for kids because nowadays you really need to have that computer proficiency. But I mean, growing up, when we would do our plays and when we would have our costume box, we made so much of, you know, you take an old piece of cardboard and you make it into a sword and you wrap it in duct tape, or, you know,
put
foil around it. Exactly. I mean, it takes very little if you're willing to take the things that are around us all the time, even free things, and just use them. I mean, what you said about using the box, when my kids were little, we would take, because we moved a lot, we were a military family, and we would take all the moving boxes and we would tape or hot glue them together, and we'd cut doors and windows, and they would have this huge fort that no adults could even fit into. So it was their space, and they would draw on the walls like you can't in the real world. You know, they would decorate it in all those ways that made it their own, and they loved it. And then it would be around in the living room for 2 or 3 weeks until we're like, all right, we need our living room back, and then it would be gone. And it was, but that sort of thing came and went all the time. And they knew something else would come next. I just think anything that comes your way, look at the possibilities and say, how can we use this for play? How can this not be a problem? We have all these boxes. How can this be an opportunity?
You can use card tables and chairs and put blankets over them. And those are the best.
Oh, absolutely. The forts. Yes. And that can go with the plays, too. You can be, you know, cowboys out on the prairie, you know, or you can be settlers to a new land. Or there's so many opportunities with what you can be. And trust me, if you do this with your kids, mm-hmm. I mean, if you tell them, go play, they may or may not. You know, they may say, okay, I'd really rather do something else. But if you're in there in the fort with them, or if they're hiding in the fort and, you know, they're hiding from you and you're searching for them, suddenly for them, the world becomes a million times, like, more wonderful and exciting. So,
I've slept many a night under those in those forts and felt it the next day. But
right.
It's but you'll never forget that kind
totally
of stuff.
Worth it. Totally worth it. Exactly. I mean, that's, I think so often we as adults become so full of our responsibilities and the things we have to do and the things that, you know, that weigh on us, because it does become difficult when you have to keep the family fed and you have to keep the house clean. And it can be difficult to say, I'm going to just take a little bit of time. Maybe if you almost scheduled it, like you would schedule an appointment, or, okay, from 2 to 6, I'm going to just play with the kids, or even from 2 to 3, just give yourself a time period. Know that at 3, when it's over, you know, you'll be like, all right, kids, y'all keep going, but I got to go pay a few bills or whatever. as little or as much time, if you can just fit some of that time in, because I promise you, like, you'll start to discover that that excitement that you, I'm sure, had when you were little from playing again.
And like you say, it doesn't have to be expensive.
Oh, not at all. I mean, it can be completely with things that are in your house right now. Like you said, blankets. It just takes a little bit of time because you have to remake all the beds and refold all the blankets, but it's all right there.
Artist Laura Klopp with us this morning on Town Talk. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk with Ted on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook. Just search News Talk 1230 WFVA. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Artist Laura Klopp with us this morning. Well, this has been a great conversation, Laura. We have gone from talking about Via Calori to just really home life at any time and not just the summer.
Oh, I agree. I just think when you start talking about art, you are talking about life, because art is not something that lives in a museum that you go to and see once a year, if that, or, you know, go to a gallery downtown. Art at its best is a part of our daily lives, from choosing what we wear when we get dressed to, you know, the make-believe that we play, to decorating our walls, to the cards we give to people, everything. And hopefully we make our own cards. but, I mean, it's just, you can't talk about art without talking about life, hopefully.
As far as getting started in art, because you talked about that a little bit before, that it sometimes there is an initial outlay.
Right. I mean, if you want to get started in fine arts, if you're an adult saying, hey, what could I buy if I just want to experiment a little bit, I would say get a little set, like a little starter set of either oil or acrylic. I wouldn't get both. I'd start with one or another. Acrylic's probably easier because you can use water as your medium instead of using turpentine like you need with oil and linseed oil. So I'd get acrylics and I'd get watercolors and I'd get a little bit of good paper and I'd get two or three decent brushes. I would not get like really cheap brushes. It's important to get a couple of good brushes, only like $2 brushes, not $20 brushes. Just some paper for drawing, maybe a set of charcoals, which people surprisingly tend to like a lot, even if they've never used it before. Charcoal has a power to it, and some pencils and some pens, even those like Uniball pens, they write beautifully. And you can just draw and see what you have to, like, see where your interest lies with that and where you should go further. For kids, if you're a parent and you're like, what should I get to have stuff ready on hand for my kids who want to do art this summer? Again, I'd say I get some paper. It doesn't have to be really expensive paper, but I wouldn't get like the cheapest copy paper you can find, even the slightly thicker copy paper like made for inkjet, something that has a little weight to it. A cheap set of watercolors, a few decent brushes again, hot glue gun and hot glue, and you can get those at the dollar store. So you don't have to pay $4 for a hot glue gun. You can get it for a dollar. I would get the little hot glue guns because, quite frankly, there's two sizes, small and large. Mm-hmm. I'd get the small ones because they go through less glue and you don't really need as much glue as the big ones put out for most things. So it's cheaper. A pair of scissors, good pair of scissors, some old clothes, other ones that are torn that you were going to get rid of or from. I think there's a place in town that's a Goodwill shop where they just have, like, you pay by the pound. Pick out clothes by the pound that would make great costumes. For the kids, just Sharpies. Kids love Sharpies. Sharpies and watercolor go great together because you can Sharpie and then the watercolor doesn't cause it to run. So you can have like some strong lines and then you can have some watery background. So that's actually, I've never met a kid who didn't love Sharpies. So I'd say a set of Sharpies. And then just little notions. If you're in Goodwill and you notice a bag of, you know, googly eyes or pipe cleaners or all those things come in handy when you start building and creating and you never know what exactly. So I would just have a bin that has all these strange little things in it. And then if you're making a card or making a costume, you use what you have and you find suddenly, oh, this would make a perfect unicorn horn. Or, oh, this would make a perfect little star on my card for grandma. You know, and it's like you don't know what the use is going to be, but if you don't have just a few random cool things laying around, you're not going to have that use. And that makes it really cheap, too. I mean, you could go to a yard sale and be like, hey, can I, you know, get all these weird little miscellaneous things for a dollar? A lot of them be like, sure, no one else is going to buy them. So just have a bin with cool stuff in it, some Sharpies, some paper, and hot glue. Oh, you got to have hot glue.
you mentioned doing creative things with like grandparents, especially if you've got grandparents or you've got relatives out of town. It's fun for the kids to make something and send it to them, and for the recipients to get something like that, rather than just a, you know, dear grandma and grandpa, thank you for the $5 you sent me for my birthday.
Right. There's a whole world of letter writing where you have art on the letter, and it's about, and I had a pen pal, and we used to do this. We fell off because she was at college and busyness, you know, we sort of each went our ways, but it was so cool while it lasted, because we would send letters to each other and there was writing, but there was so much art all intertwined. You can turn your letters into little flowers, and I mean, you can just make them cool and fun, and then the kids aren't feeling this obligatory, I'm gonna sit and write. It's like, how can you decorate that to make it awesome? And then they're excited about it. And I mean, and don't do stuff with noodles, because then you have to save it. And how do you save something with noodles? So I'm just going to say, please don't do the noodle art.
Well, and at the end of the day with a lot of this, you can put it on your refrigerator. Kids love when you take this kind of stuff to work and put it up, or if they come to you and see where you work, if you have it up on a bulletin board or something.
Oh, absolutely. Be proud. Take pictures when you're playing in the fort with them. I mean, who wants a family picture of everybody standing around with a black background smiling vaguely at a camera? Make your, like, set up your tripod and put your camera on it, or have a friend come over and take a picture of all of you dressed up in front of your fort. That's a much better family picture. You know, I mean, make these memories things that you put all over your world, because the kids will know how much you value and treasure this time with them if you do.
What a fun mom you are.
Oh, I hope so. I hope my kids would say that too.
No, this is all really good stuff, and there's no reason that at any time in the summer, well, I guess sometimes it happens, but your kids a lot of times shouldn't have to say, you know, we're bored, what's there to do?
Right. I mean, and don't get me wrong, I'm fine. I mean, I'm like, you want to hang out and watch TV and chill on the couch for a while?
Yeah.
I have no problem with that. I was never a, you must be busy all the time. But I know that given a choice, especially when they were much younger, of sitting on the couch and watching TV or playing with me or their dad, they would have played in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times when they do that, it's just because they kind of feel like it's, you know, playing by yourself is kind of sad. And some people are great at it. I never was. I'm a little too social. But yeah, so just, you know, but let them chill if they want. That's cool. I mean, right now, my daughter's so used to creative things that when she sits and watches TV, she's always knitting or making jewelry at the same time. So,
Laura, real quick, what's your email again if someone wants to get in touch with you?
It's LaraKlopp@AOL.com.
Artist Laura Klopp with us. Laura, thank you. Great stuff. We'll talk again soon.
Awesome. Thank you.
That's it for Town Talk. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.